Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Amen. I want to talk to you from my heart. Go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. I'm spending time with God yesterday, seeking the Word of the Lord for you this morning. I wrote 3 sermons yesterday, and this morning, like God spoke to Elijah, a very thin whisper took place in my heart early this morning, and God said, I need you to get up, and I need to tell you some things. And here's what he told me to tell someone. Exodus 14, verse 13 through 15, the concept is this. In 2020, at the precipice of 2019, you've been asking God, what do I do? And God has told me to tell you, stand still. In Exodus 14, verse 13 through 15, it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see again no more, forever. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? And then he says this to the Israelites, the children of God. He says, tell the people I said at the precipice of 2019, looking at 2020, to get moving. Now, do circumstances for 2019 have you feeling trapped, stressed out, as if something wasn't completely tied up or finished or completed? If it does, then you have the temptation, like I do and many of the rest of us, to fight or flight. We have a national tendency to want to run and to think, if only I could run away and get to a new place. The grass will always be greener on the other side. That is, until you get there. One man said, the grass, if it's greener on the other side, your neighbor has astroturf. But many times, we, like Moses, just want to get away from it all. We have been imprisoned. We have been fighting the enemy. We have, in 2019, won victories and seen battles, but we have not won the battle that we are waiting to win, the big one. And so the natural propensity for human beings is that when God is in the middle of doing something in your life, is that you want to leave it. And it's really not even in the middle, it's really near the end. A woman's greatest moment of pain is at the place of birth. And God is birthing something in you, as a church, as a people, and as an individual. And it is a natural propensity, while you have waited on God for years to move, to want to fight or flight, to escape, or an exodus, if you will, in your miserable circumstances. God told me to tell you this morning, someone, that's the adversary talking to you, because that's just part of the story. It's not the whole story. That's just 2019. It's also about moving into a new life with new challenges for an even longer journey. You see, it takes God a long time to move suddenly. And our first propensity is to fear. I have a new definition of fear. Number one, God told Moses to tell the children of Israel at the precipice of the change of their life, don't panic. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God says to you this morning, don't panic. I'm not done. Even though I haven't tied up everything that I told you I was going to do in your life, I am not finished. Fear is either one or two things. Fear means face everything and run, or it means face everything and rise. You see, Israel could run or rise. And right now, as you look back on 2019 and whatever you needed God to deliver you from, you have this temptation to run or to rise. So Israel couldn't run or rise. And so what did they do when they couldn't run or rise at the precipice, at the ending of the greatest moment of their life? They complained. They complained how they'd prayed and God didn't answer. They complained how the leaders weren't doing what they should do. They complained and griped and mumbled about how God didn't take care of them. And they actually got to the place, because they did not rise, that they began to ask God to send them back to Egypt and said things were better when we were slaves. So you need to plan on an enemy. He wants you to give up and to go back and to give up hope, so that going back to what God has already released you from. And what God has spoken to me today to tell someone in this room is that God is not asking you to give up so you can go back to what He's already released you from. God wants you to move forward. When you look at verse 13 and verse 14, you see where Moses was told by God, "Don't be afraid. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Now, I'm not telling you it's easy to stay calm when you need God to do a miracle in your life. How many of you need a miracle? Can I see your hands? 2020 is going to be a year for that. He just said, stay calm. When you look at verse 15, God says, "Why are you crying out to me? You go tell the people to keep moving." Now, wait a minute. Do you want me to stand still or do you want me to move? Make up your mind, God. I'm in the middle of a battle. I've won some battles in 2019, and in 2020, there's some other battles. Guys, back in the back, stop talking. I am done with irreverent behavior. If you don't want to listen, leave. Can I get an amen? I didn't pray 9 hours yesterday to have people disrupt the house of God after I just told you not to do that. And if you can take correction, you're a sheep. If you can't, you're a goat. And I love you, but I mean business this morning. Will you give God a hand clap of praise if you agree with that reverence? He said, just stay calm. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people that I said keep moving. Wait a minute, you want me to stand still or do you want me to keep moving? Which is it, God? And so now he didn't know how God was going to deliver them. Moses had no clue how God was going to deliver them in 2020. He just knew God was going to deliver them. He just knew in his heart that 2019, God was not done. That God was getting ready to do something new and fresh in his life, and that he knew that God was going to do it. He just didn't know how he was going to do it. And a lot of times, that's exactly the way our walk with God is. We know he's going to do something. We're prisoners of hope. We have faith because our heart is a mirror of our faith. But at the same time, we don't know how God is going to do it. So we wreck our faith and we destroy our peace trying to figure out how God is going to do something. It's only going to take him a minute to do it. And so God says, I want you to know, I know how to deliver you. Now here's what you need to know, some wisdom that God told me to give you. Number one, I don't care what land you're going to, what promised land you need God to answer that he's going to deliver you through. But no matter where you go, God has promised you in 2020, no matter where God has promised you in 2020, you will find an enemy. You will find an enemy. Number two, the goal of the wilderness is not to destroy you. The goal of the journey is not to destroy you, it's to destroy your enemy in you. Number three, God opens up a door And he lets you out of your prison and he begins his deliverance. But God told Israel one time in Exodus, he said, I will not deliver you instantly. I will not destroy all of your enemies in one day. Because if I do, you're not prepared to handle them. But if you'll trust me and lean not to your own ways of understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He said, I will direct your path. I will lead you through the Hittites. I will lead you through every nation that comes against the children of God. The Pharaohs of Egypt will be no match for my power. But I will not destroy all of them at one time. I will destroy them in and through your life and the obedience of your walk with me, a little bit by little bit. And if you trust me, I will bring you through your Red Sea. And I will get you to your promised land. And number three, what you got to realize is that while God opens one door and he shuts another door and he opens the door for Exodus, and you can see that on the other side of the Red Sea, just a little bit, victory is there. You can see that, then you have to understand that God opens one door and he closes another door and he opens another door, but it's always hell in the hallway. It's always difficult when you have to go and trust God when you're transitioning from the pit to the palace. There's always a transition there to where you got to trust God. When you don't have it all figured out and you don't know what God wants to do in your life and you don't know how God wants to do it, but you just know in your heart he's going to deliver you. And then the other thing is you need to learn to take courage, because in between the children of Israel and in between the armies of the enemy of Israel, Pharaoh, there was a cloud. And verse 19 says that the cloud was an effective barrier between Israel and Egypt. I want to ask you something. When was the last time you got so close to God you created a barrier between you and your enemy? When was the last time you prayed and asked the Lord to do something so miraculous in your life? Or you spent time with him, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon. Well, verse 15, God says, Moses, why are you crying out to me? Keep moving. There's a time to listen, and there's a time to act. And God says, get moving at the precipice of 2019, even though I'm not done with what I'm doing in your life. Get moving actually is Hebrew for start a new journey. It means walk towards your Red Sea. Walk towards your wall. Walk towards what seems unreasonable. It means walk towards the new job. Walk towards the new marriage of love and the dream you have. Walk towards whatever it is that you're waiting on God for. God says, don't just stand still, which actually means, I'm going to read this to you. It actually means that, excuse me just a minute. It actually means to stand still, to stay calm. It means to, it means to trust in the Lord. It means that God's promises are greater than your promises. It means that you don't need to do anything but just rely on God to move. So stand still actually means you can't do this on your own. Stand still actually means that whatever God is wanting to do in your life, whatever miracle that you need from him, is that he's at a place in his with you where it's hell in the hallway. And he's not finished doing what he wanted to do in your life in 2019. But in 2020, what God is wanting from you to do is he wants you to surrender. Not to hopelessness. Because that's what happens when we flee from God after he doesn't answer us fully. He doesn't want you to surrender to your enemy. He doesn't want your enemy to be destroyed, to destroy you. But he wants you to surrender to him. See, the process of surrendering, it appears that Moses had to do something. After Moses surrendered, he went and laid before the Lord, the Bible said. He cried out to God, and he got face to face in the presence of God. Now listen to me. It's difficult when you have to pastor people and correct them when no one is correctable anymore. It's impossible, almost. But I want you to hear my shepherd's heart as I speak with a prophetic voice. And I want you to understand that your answer for 2020, and I'm begging God, I'm asking God, I'm praying to God, I'm seeking God for men to come to prayer meeting tonight, for you to experience God somehow in 2020 in a way you've never experienced Him before. Because here's the danger in a church like this that is strong in teaching the Word of God in exegesis and hermeneutics. We have a very great danger here. And that is that any revelation from God's Word that doesn't lead you into an encounter with God only serves to make you more religious. If you hear the Word of God and it doesn't change you from an experience, if you hear the Word of God and you don't sense the presence of God in worship, if you hear the Word of God and you know how to exegete and conjugate nouns and parse verbs in the Greek and all of that stuff, and we teach that here, and we'll always teach that there, because you can't get mature without the renewing of your mind, and you cannot get mature without knowing how to rightly handle the Word of God. You have to have it. But the dilemma is that if all we ever do is study God's Word and we never experience God, we're never going to see God's deliverance. And at the end of the day, stand still means that there's not anything you can do that's going to change your circumstances except trust God, surrender your life, and obey His will. And when you obey Him and you surrender your life fully to Him, He will take the hell and the hallway and open the other door. Because you got to win in private what you're about to have in public. And until you win it in private, you'll never see it in public. Whatever you're fighting, whatever enemy is trying to keep you from the greatness God has for you in 2020, if you don't win the battle in private, you'll never win it in public. In other words, people are not healed because you had a miraculous move of God in public. No, no, no. People are healed, people are delivered, signs and wonders happen, prophetic words come when people spend time with God and they win something in private. And people need to understand that there's a high cost to low power with God, especially as this world comes unhinged, especially as anti-Semitism arises, especially as Turkey aligns with Russia and China, if future eschatology is correct, and I believe it is. How many of you believe Jesus is coming back? Can I see your hand? Well, folks, it's time for the church to get ready, and the church isn't a building only. It's a group of people inside a specific location that have made up their mind to serve God no matter what, and they remind me of the children of Daniel's day, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. God will deliver us, Nebuchadnezzar, but if not, we still will not bow to your idol. Oh, give God a hand clap of praise in here. What God is wanting to do is to wake up and destroy compromise in your life. What is compromise? Compromise is going towards an easier solution than what God has planned for you. Compromise is wanting to fly in the midst of hell in the hallway. Compromise is that thing in you that wants to quit. But I'm here to tell you, you can't quit. You're too close to the coming of the Son of Man. You can't quit because you're too close to God answering you and moving your mountain and destroying your Egyptian. You're too close to the destruction of your Philistine. Put the rock in your hand and be still. And watch the glory of God destroy your giant. Oh, give God a hand clap of praise if you don't mind in here. You see, when you have high cost with low power, in 2020, you can't afford form without power. You cannot afford a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Because it will create a Christian without a purpose. What needs to happen for you to move through the hell in your hallway in 2019 is for you to cultivate an awareness with God. That is what Moses did, and that is exactly what caused the Red Sea to part. That is what Moses did and the children of Israel did, and that is exactly why there was a cloud that separated them from their enemies. What you have to understand is that Moses' solution was not
reason. It was not logical. It was unreasonable. How in the world are we going to stand in front of the Red Sea and see God deliver us in 2020? We've been through hell already. We have fought every kind of devil, demon in hell. Thousands of us have died. They put more straw in the bricks. It just can't get any worse. And then God began to deliver them, and the locusts came, and the water turned to blood, and the lice showed up in the land of Egypt amongst the people of Pharaoh. And God said, "Let my people go." And there was a door that opened for the children of Israel, and they walked through it, and they walked out not with poverty, but they walked out with the prosperity and the favor of the Lord, because the Bible said that the Egyptians gave them money and gold just to get out of town. And God is about to do something in your life in 2020. He's about to end the assault of your enemy on your life and move you out of Egypt into the promised land, from the pit to the palace. The problem is, it's hell in the hallway. So how do you cultivate a presence of God? Prayer. I don't know how to pray. Read the Bible, find a promise, get in a closet, and remind God of the promise. You got to study. Well, I don't understand the Bible. Come on Sundays, come on Wednesdays, and get in a small group in this church and get connected. I don't like to read. Buy the audio version. Change your associations. There's always this dilemma with people trying to get right with God. On one hand, they've got to have koinonia, Christian fellowship. On the other hand, they've got to stay away from the world. But if the church leaves the world, then how can the church be a light to the world? Well, there's a difference between being a light to the world and going to the party where everybody's smoking pot. There's a difference between being a light to the world and telling the same jokes the world tells. Let me tell you what God wants for 2020 for your deliverance. Come out from amongst them and be ye a separate people, God says. He's wanting holiness. What is holiness? Holiness isn't whether you watch TV. Holiness is not how long your hair is if you're a woman. Holiness is none of those things. You know what holiness is? Holiness is a separation. It's a separation from the things of this world to the things of God. Where you love God more than you love the things of this world. And so you got to change your associations. You got to obey. You can't just hear. You should pay tithes. You can't just hear. You want to be prosperous, give offerings. You got to obey. You can't just hear, evangelize the lost and not bring anybody to church. You can't just hear the blessings start with the Sabbath and the Sabbath is connected to the blessings and then miss Sunday if it's raining. No, no, you can't live like that. You got to read the Word of God, rightly divide the Word of God, and then obey it. And then the other thing is, you got to worship. Now here's the point about worship. When you're in a fight with the adversary and the devil is trying to destroy you, and I love everyone in this room, but when the devil is trying to destroy you, there is only one way out. You do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darknesses of this air. You have to understand that the battle is not with the flesh and blood that is attacking you. Oftentimes, Christians are elusive to the fact that there is a good, and his name is God, and there is an evil, and his name is Satan. And John the Revelator says, soon, and soon, very soon, the coming of the Son of Man is going to return to this earth, and he's going to have the angels tie up Lucifer, the beast, and the false prophet, throw them into a pit of hell, and that they'll reign, they'll sit there for 1,000 years. Then he'll let them loose, the battle of Armageddon and the great white throne of judgment. And there's coming a day when every evil will be quarantined and all goodness shall be separated from that which has fought them all of their life. Hang on, don't stop, don't give up, don't stop praying, don't stop asking God for a miracle. Your redemption draweth nigh. But what does that have to do with worship? When you are in a battle to move to the next stage in your walk with God, when you're in a battle for your promised land, and you've been let out of slavery, and you're stuck in the hallway of the long journey that takes God to move suddenly. When you're there, only the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman will availeth much. What's that got to do with worship? I know your prayer life based on your worship habits in this church. Say, how do you know that? You don't know my heart. I don't have to know your heart. Your body, which is your reasonable sacrifice, will tell stories about your heart. And the point is this. When it comes to worship, the level of your spiritual authority is tied to the level of the depth of your worship. The level of your spiritual authority to say, mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Your spiritual authority to say, devil, come out of her. Your spiritual authority to make commands with the power of attorney that God gave Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis to speak to the adversary. A lot of people have been rebuking the devil, and the devil's been laughing at him. But if you ever get holiness in your life, and you get sold out to God to where you surrender him, and you're in the midst of your hallway, and you're waiting for God to finish what he started in 2019, if you ever become a worshiper, it's over for your enemy. If you ever become a worshiper, it's over for your enemy. And I'm not just talking about in here. My prayer is God will explode worship. And the reason that worship isn't exploding like it should here in other places is because the hunger is not here. When you're hungry for God, you can't help but to worship him. And I've been telling this church for 5 years now, God wants to lay the head of Goliath at your feet. He wants to put the Red Sea behind your back. And he will if you will worship him. If you will rely on the cloud and not your own reason. If you will rely on the presence of God and not your own ingenuity. If you will lean on God, do you know what he's going to do? He will move your mountain. If you believe that, give God a shout of praise in this place. You got to fast. Got to be still. Journaling helps me tremendously. You are going to face trouble again in 2020. But in your journey, there are certain disciplines that are private that will tune your heart to the cloud. Prayer. Study of God's word. Right associations and koinonia fellowship. Obedience, worship, fasting, stillness, journaling. Those things will tune your heart to the cloud. And it'll be the cloud that separates your Red Sea. What we need in 2020 is revelation and understanding above and beyond biblical pablum. We need to get anchored in the unseen. Because the measure of your spiritual authority you have in warfare is directly related to the depth of your worship. And the courage that you need to finish the fight and win the final victory for 2020 will not be found in your reason. It will be unreasonable. It will be found in the cloud, in the presence of God. So God sets his people from slavery
and says, keep moving. Don't stop. I have something new and fresh for you. Do you want it? Jeremy, band, come up here, please. Do you want it? Will you get so discouraged after a very long journey that you will give up on God? If you do, you'll end up just like this little girl, this lady, this grandma. There'll be a day when God draws you back. And sometimes when I speak through a prophetic voice, I can get very stern. I don't mean to offend anyone, and I love you. That's my shepherd heart. But the prophetic voice needs to be in the church too, where there's reverence and a fear of God. If all you have is grace and love, you're wrong. God says he disciplines those that he loves, and judgment is the explanation for love. You have to have both, and it has to be gentle and loving. It doesn't mean that it can't be stern. But the message today about standing still is prophetic. God told me to tell you prophetically, anytime, Jeremy, that while in 2019 he answered some of your prayers, and in 2019 you won some battles, in 2019 you fought some things that you're tired of fighting. In 2019 you got exhausted like Elijah. You just defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And in the midst of winning and the midst of losing, in the midst of winning and the midst of losing, knowing that you've been released from prison, you experienced hell in the hallway. And you're not in the beginning, and you're not in the middle, God says to you. You're not even a third, three quarters. No, you're right at the end of the hell in the hallway, and the door is about to open, and you will never see this enemy again. And so the tendency is to get mad at God because I've prayed and I've relied on you to do these things, and I trusted you when you still haven't showed up. Yeah, you did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. And the heat is so hot right now. I know I'm standing in front of the next door where my family's healed, where signs and wonders happen, where God moves. I'm standing there, and the pain is unbearable. And I don't think I could go on anymore. God says, stand. I don't have the strength to stand. That's exactly the point. The Hebrew for the word stand means you don't stand in your own strength. That's why when it gets to the Greek in Ephesians 6, it says, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. Which means your standing is not in your own strength. Your standing is in the presence of God and the weapons of your warfare that he's given you to defeat your enemy. And then he says, while you're standing and you realize that the door in front of you is unreasonable, the door in front of you is impossible. The door in front of you will take a miracle. God says to you at the precipice of 2019, move. Move. Move to what? To the cloud. And your closeness with God, the Lord will become your rear guard and your front guard, and he will go before you, because Moses looked up in verse 19 and saw the cloud, which is a symbol of the presence of God, that I got this. That's why God said, hey, don't stay calm. God's cloud said, you're not going to figure this out. God's cloud says, just come close. Move. Because you've done all you can do to stand. Now stand. Paul picks up on that analogy. And so I don't know who I'm talking to today. How many of you got anything out of this? Can I see hands? If I'm talking to you today, I want to anoint you with oil. And I want you to come and stand right here. Because theology without an encounter is nothing but religion. That doesn't mean you always have to experience God here. You can experience God there. You can experience God there. You can experience Him in the hallway. You can experience Him anywhere in the church with fellowship and coffee or wherever. But God wants you to experience Him today. But on the count of three, if that's you, I'm talking to you this morning with a prophetic voice, which is strong. I want you to come and stand. One, two, three.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.